getting ready for my Sunday morning run. It's going to be a quick run, only 3 miles. I was hoping for five. I've got the Dogfish Dash coming up at the end of September, and it's been tough trying to get back into my groove and trying to get my distance up. I mean, I know I can do it. It's just I don't know if I'm just aging poorly or if if I'm just out of practice, but I haven't really gotten in a lot of long distance runs, and the Dogfish Dash is just over. It's just over 5 miles, so I can do 5 miles. I can do 5-6 miles easily, but I need to get back into it. Also, because I've got a half marathon coming up, and that's coming up in November. And while they're, oh, you got plenty of time. Remember, I'm also writing a book in the middle of all this. So there's that. Before I get into today's topic, let me jump back to the Whiskey Tango Foxtrot moment that I did on Lanny Sarum. This is a comment left on a blog from Brian Arkle Weber. Can I just give mad props to UT for using the term Mary Sue properly for the most part? But I'll get into that. That's something I don't see very often anymore, though that's a rant for another time, perhaps. Nah, F it, I'll do it here. You want to know what really grinds my gears about people who use the term Mary Sue? It's not like its origins are lost in the sands of time like some obscure phrase from ancient Babylonia. It is a fanfic term created by a Trekkie for a Star Trek fanzine in the 70s, and it has specific meaning. And that meaning is not, despite what the modern internet would have you believe, is any female character who is more than competent at what she does or, God forbid, an out-and-out badass. Jill Barup did a fantastic video on the subject of the Mary Sue for her History of Fan Fiction series, and in that video she sums it up perfectly. I'll put the link in the show notes. One person's Mary Sue is another person's Batman. A Mary Sue is a fanfic character. By definition, a canon character cannot be a Mary Sue, no matter how OPU, the royal U, not the specifically UT, thinks she is. Granted, in Lanny's case, since this does seem to be a real book but a longer-than-average movie pitch, I suppose the term could still apply. From what I've read about this book, this isn't so much a story within its own canon as it is a fanficish pastiche of the various tropes of what's popular in YA right now. Okay, maybe that's a stretch and you didn't use the term right, and phrases like author's pet and or self-insert fic will be more appropriate, but hell, even if that's the case, you still used Mary Sue closer to accurately than about 99% of men, and let's face it, it's usually men, and straight men at that, I see on social media. Thanks, Arkle. Here's the thing about that term. I wrote an entire passage about Mary Sue, Gary Stu, and I believe it was either I think the Star Trek writing team for Next Gen. They actually had a term for it, and it was called Ensign Smith. I think it was either called Ensign Smith or Ensign Jones. So here's the premise behind that. You know what? Screw it. I think this is going to be the topic. Let's talk about avoiding the Mary Sue, and also about where we draw that line and how do we define it and things like that. But what happens with Ensign Jones or Ensign Smith, whichever one it's called? If you want to know, it's in my characters chapter in The Complete Guide to Writing Fantasy from Dragon Moon Press. And in there, I talk about, and this is from the documentary Trekkies. And in it, they're talking to the writer team, the writing team for Star Trek Next Gen. And in that, they said, yeah, we have an open door policy on scripts. And so anyone can write a script for us, and we will review it, and we will, if we like it, we will produce it. And they said that a whopping majority of the scripts they got were all these scripts where the Enterprise was in trouble, the crew was in trouble, there was shenanigans afoot, but only Ensign Jones could save them, not any of the principal cast and crew. Ensign Jones, who happened to be on the ship, you know, somewhere in the crew. And there might have been a love story where Ensign Jones and Deanna Troi fall in love, or Ensign Jones and Beverly Crusher fall in love. Or there might be a scene where Ensign Jones gets it on with both Beverly Crusher and Deanna Troi. You know, really awkward stuff like that. And that is so for Next Gen, that became their thing, their Ensign Jones or Ensign Smith. I believe it was Ensign. It might be actually be Ensign Jones, but I can't remember. It like I said, it's in the book. Link in the show notes. But I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, coming up with a visualized character of yourself and putting them in a situation that you've always wanted to be in. You know, I mean, me growing up with James Bond films, I mean, I wanted to be James Bond, and there is a little bit of Wellington in me, and a little bit of me in Wellington. I make no bones about that. There's a lot more of me in Rafe Rafton from Moravi than and there's very little of me in Billy Battings. So you have all that. Some characters, you know, you start from a template. You know, you start from where do I want to take this character from, and you know, if you're with it, you know yourself better than anybody. But where it crosses that line is when the story becomes self-indulgent. Whether it is there was a very brief fan fiction work that actually got put into print and then was immediately taken down from Amazon because it came out, oh wait, this is not the kind of book that this is not endorsed by LucasArts. And I want to say it was called A Different Hope. And what it was quote unquote, it was the author's loving homage to Star Wars, when in fact it became the self-indulgent Mary Sue story about the author inserting herself into Star Wars, and Han Solo falls in love with her. Luke and Leia were killed in some odd accident or something or other. It sort of fell apart, and it became more of her fanfic. And this was in the early days where Amazon was promoting people to or encouraging people to print their own stuff. That's a good example of a Mary Sue. When the author inserts themselves into the work and it becomes less about the story they want to tell and more about this is how Crash Out Awesome I've always wanted to be. I think that's where it becomes an awkward read, as it were. That's kind of what I went through with my last book. Not my last book I wrote, but the last book I read. It really read as a manifesto, as just an entire manifesto of this is what I wish my life was like. And, you know, with fanfic, if you want to do that, I mean, and with fanfic, I think there are two types of fanfic. You know, you got the Mary Sues, you got the Gary Stews, you got the Ensign Jones. But then on the other side of the fanfic, and I can attest, I've written it. I wrote a novella set in the realm of Destiny, and I used two of my characters, my warlock and my hunter. I used the two of them as the main characters. Now, was there anything of me in any of these characters, with the exception of the weapons that I was using? No. I mean, and the accomplishments in the game? No. Does that count as fan fiction? Sure, it does. Did it get published? Yeah, it did for a very special one-off anthology that we gave away. There was no money made. We gave that away. What am I going to do with this story? Could I file off the numbers and publish it? Sure. I could also do what I'm planning to do. I'm going to go on ahead and podcast it on my Destiny podcast just for the fun of it, because I've read some Destiny fanfic. And some of it's pretty darn good. And so, yeah, I want to offer up Happy Hour to the Tower as a platform for that. But going back to what Arkel had to say here, you know, when you're developing those characters, I think it's okay to give them little details of you if you want to do that. You just can't go overboard, you know? And it gives you a way to connect with the characters that you're reading. I think there's a more personal investment when you have characters that have aspects of you. But inserting yourself, you know, going full Stan Lee and having you in the story, Yeah, that gets a little tricky. That gets a little tricky. And you got to be careful about that sort of thing. I think Mary Stu and Gary Mary Sue and Gary Stu and Ensign Jones, they all have a place in fiction. They all have a place in storytelling. What you have to make sure that you do is that you don't cross the line of self-indulgence. Focus on the story you want to tell, and focus on the characters and how the character shapes them. Not have it be a spank fest of hey, I'm going to live out my greatest fantasy. You may think people want to read that. I guarantee you they don't. They don't. They want an escape. They don't want your latest psychotherapist session. Would I want to be a superhero? Sure. I'd love to be a superhero. Am I going to write that story? No. I did that. I did that back in the day, you know, when I was in school, and I was just experimenting with writing. Not today. I'm not going to do that today. For a joke, I might. For a joke, I might. So here we go. Last week. Let's do this. And welcome to the Dog Days of Podcasting.